Trek Bicycle Store, Pensacola.
Good morning and welcome to the Friday edition of Pep Talk, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable, 850-437-1620 if you'd like to be on the show today. I'm your host, PJ. In the studio with me is Robbie Mott from Trek Bicycle. Welcome back to the show.
Good morning, PJ. How you doing?
I'm doing good. How about you?
Doing great.
Yeah, so temperatures are finally cooling off a little bit this morning.
They are.
Yeah.
Definitely. You can sort of feel the fall in the air.
Absolutely. So it's Florida. A lot of people probably during the summer months aren't out there riding the bike because it's too hot.
Yeah.
So now we're moving into the fall season. And any tips for those bikers as they're moving into fall here?
There is. So the first thing I'd like to do is, you know, with everything that's going on with this hurricane that has just passed us, I want to thank all the safety personnel that live here that are actually being deployed down to, you know, ground zero for the most part. Everyone from the police department, the, you know, power to companies, the health department, and people that we forget about, people that are neighbors that leave here to go down to help with cutting trees down, moving debris, stuff like that. And one of the other ones that we always forget about is our pets. Who's going to take care of the pets that are lost, you know, having shelters? So if you have any people out there that are doing that, thank you, and God bless.
Absolutely.
We need those because they always come up here to help us, so thank you.
Yeah. I remember a few years back when a hurricane went through Puerto Rico, and it just seemed like all hands on deck, and you had not only Floridians stepping up to help out over there, you had other states sending personnel to step up. And, I mean, we take care of each other.
We take care of each other. And that's so great that we live in an area that we can do that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah.
So,
yeah.
Yeah. Once again, moving into fall.
Moving into fall, exactly.
What kind of tips do you have for bicyclists?
Now it's time to start riding a bike. It's that time of year. You know, everybody doesn't like riding usually in the heat because it's too hot, too sweaty. And now with the weather like we got this morning, it's perfect time to get outside and start riding the bike. So today we're going to talk about some service. And when you do take the bike out of the garage or the house, the shed, you know, some of the things that you should look at before you get on the bike.
Absolutely. So what should they be looking at? Their chains, their bike tires?
Well, the whole bike itself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, look at the condition of the bike. You know, some of the things that we see a lot is when people wheel in the bikes and say, hey, you know, it hasn't been ridden in a long time. Been ridden in 6-8 months, and they bring in the tire, they bring in the bike, and it's got flat tires, the chain's a little rusty, it's been, you know, it's dirty from sitting, you know, in a dusty area. And a lot of people come in and say, I need new tires, new tubes. And a lot of times the tubes and tires are still in completely good shape. So if you're just bringing the bike out for the first time, air the tires up. And it's like on your car tire. Every tire pretty much has the air pressure on the sidewall, just like your car does. Car tires are usually about 35 pounds pressure, 28 to 35. There's a range. And a bike tire has the exact same thing. So air the tires up to the proper air inflation. Usually it's between 40-ish to 65. Road bikes are 70 to 100 now, depending on if it's a tubeless or a tube tire. And if the air stays inflated the exact same for a couple days, you might not need new tubes. You know, look at the sidewall tread to see if it's dry rod, just like you would on your car tire. The exact same thing. So, yeah, I mean, there's a couple little tips that you might not need new tubes. You might not need new tires. You just need to air them up and keep them inflated.
Absolutely.
And if you think about a tube, you know, in your tire, it's just like a hot air balloon, a balloon that you get at a party. A latex balloon that you fill with helium. What's going to happen to that helium after 2 days? It's going to push through the balloon, and then all of a sudden end up on the ground because there's no more air in it. Your bicycle tire is the exact same way. You know, with the higher pressure in there, it's going to push the air molecules through that tube, and it's going to deflate over time.
Yeah.
So keep your inflation in your tires.
Absolutely. I think a lot of bicyclists, they store the bike away, and they just want to basically come out. They'll do the bare minimum. They'll look at the tires. But there's more to a bike than just that. So
correct.
People need to look at all the pieces and figure out what needs to be fixed or taken care of before they get on the road and be safe.
Yeah. And one of the jokes we have in the shop right now this time of year is, you know, it is becoming fall. And, you know, you need to get that summer air out of the tire because if not, you know, my tire might explode. So you need to get all the summer air out and put the fall air in.
Mm-hmm.
So
Yeah, absolutely. So I know that Trek does maintenance at your shop.
Yes, we do a full service shop.
Yeah, and do you have maintenance plans as well for people?
Maintenance plans. We've got, you know, different service packages. You know, a lot of it just all depends on what the bike needs. Mm-hmm. So when you bring the bike in, we'll go through the bike 9 times out of 10 right there while you wait, so you know exactly what we're going to be doing to the bike. You see the parts that either need to be replaced or need to be fixed, so there's no hidden costs or surprises, you know, when you come to pick the bike up.
Do they need to have an appointment?
Nope, just come on in, you know, whenever it's convenient for you. Okay. And a lot of times, with, you know, 9 times out of 10, we try to triage the bike and check it in right then and there, so there's no surprises.
Absolutely. So we do have our first question on the text line here. 850-437-1620. By the way, if you want to be part of the conversation with Robbie Mott from Trek Bikes Bicycle, what is the best lubricant for my bike chain?
That is the next topic. All right. Next, the bike chain. A lot of times it sits for a while in the garage or wherever, and the chain will dry out. A lot of people will go and grab that can of WD-40. And when I hear the WD-40, I'm like, I cringe. Because WD-40, what it does, it acts as a lubricant the first couple times you ride it, you know, the first 10 minutes, but it's going to deplete all of the lubricant that you have in there out of the chain.
Mm.
You want to use some type of paraffin, you know, I like using a paraffin base, wax base lube down here. Because if you clean the chain, you can use WD-40 to clean the chain, but it's not going to act as a lubricant.
Mm.
But if you get a wax base lube that will go on the chain and not collect the grit and sand that we have down here on the Gulf Coast. So it takes a little bit more to lubricate it a little more frequently, but you're not going to get the sand and grit that's actually going to start wearing out the chain over time.
Is that something you offer at your store, that lubricant?
Yeah, it's just...
Is it kind of brand name to it?
There's a bunch of different brand names, you know, but it's just a good wax-based lube since we're not living in an area where it's wet. So there's wet lubes and there's dry lubes.
Mm.
You know, down here, a good dry lube because we're not getting much rain.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're up the Pacific Northwest where it's always raining, you're going through a lot of wet areas, mud puddles all the time where it's just raining. You know, that wet lube is going to stay inside that chain. It's going to be more, it's going to be a lot dirtier, but you're going to have more lubricant that way.
Mm-hmm. So we're about a month away or so from daylight savings time, and that affects people's riding plans. What kind of tips do you have for that?
So daylight savings time, you know, one of my favorite things to talk about is safety and lights. You know, safety, you know, it's going to get darker sooner. So we definitely want to be seen. You know, we'll start wearing high-vis clothing, jackets, high-vis jerseys, vests, something that has reflective material on them,
mm-hmm.
and lights. You know, one, you know, you got to have lights if you're going to ride after dark, you know, but have something that you're going to be able to see and navigate the road with, and having more, at least one or more taillights on the bike that are just nice and bright.
Mm-hmm.
And reflectors.
Yeah.
You know, all the way around.
I've seen bicyclists at night, and some of them do have the lights on the back of the on the bike, but they also have like a wristband that lights up as well and kind of flashes so people are aware.
Anything that's going to make you stand out. Mm-hmm. You know, there's wristbands, there's vests that have, you know, LED lights in them. They blink. There's waistbands, taillights. You know, you can put them on your helmet, put them on your clothing, put them on the bicycle. Just anything that's going to make you visible.
Okay.
That's the biggest thing, is being visible out there.
We have a couple more questions for you. Do bike chains stretch, and do they need links taken out if they do?
Man, you guys are just hitting all my points this morning. So with the maintenance on the bike, when you bring the bike in for a checkup or a tune-up or just an overall safety inspection, you know, one of the things we're going to look at is going to be the condition of the chain. And the chains do stretch. You know, I've got a lot of people that come in and say, well, back when I was a kid, you know, we never replaced our chain. And a lot of it is because it was a single speed chain. And single speed chains, you can move that one sprocket. If you have gears on the bike, they stretch a little bit quicker. And they're also thinner because the chain has to fit in between each cog, where a single speed chain is nice and wide and thick.
Mm-hmm.
Well, a geared bike is a lot thinner because it has to be in between each of those gears to make it easier are harder to pedal. So yes, the chain will stretch, and typically when it does stretch, you have to replace the chain and the cassette or the gears in the back at the same time to get it to ride and shift correctly. Mm. And a lot of times down here, we always, a lot of people don't switch their gears very often. So you're always going to ride in one or two gears. So all that wear and tear is going to be on those two gears. So you have to pretty much replace the chain and the cassette together if it's already to the point where both of them need to be replaced.
Mm-hmm.
But if you monitor your chain wear, like a lot of people with road bikes or tri bikes or even some mountain bikes, if you monitor it, it's like changing the oil in the car. If you do it at 5,000 miles instead of 7,000 or 8,000 miles, the longevity of your motor is going to last longer. So it's the same thing. If you can change your chain quicker, you might not have to change that cassette.
Hmm.
So you're saving some money that way.
Perfect. Should spokes be adjusted on a wheel on a well-used older bike? If yes, why and how?
Spokes on wheels. Well, basically that's in a tune-up. We're going to check the tension on the spokes. If throughout the years you hit curbs and sidewalks and, you might get a little bend in the wheel and you might develop a hop or just an unbalanced wheel. And by truing the wheel, you're going to tighten the spokes and loosening spokes to sort of get them the same tautness between each spoke to get the wheel straight. So, and it's just a matter of moving the wheel left and right with just the tension on the spoke.
Mm, interesting. Next question. I love this question. I was just reading ahead of here a little bit. Occasionally, I see a cyclist and they are riding while running their dog on a long leash. And that doesn't seem safe. Any comments about bikers that do this?
Everyone could, I wouldn't personally, mm-hmm. But people do it. It's just, heard too many stories of, dogs running in front of the bicyclists. And I know I've sold a couple like devices that come off the back of the bike that hold the leash that push them out. I really don't have a comment on that one.
Yeah. How about the bikes that have like the attachment for the back, like the baby buggy, or sometimes I see people stick pets in there.
Those are awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, my two girls grew up in one. I personally like the trailers versus the seats. I think the seats are a little more dangerous because you can't throw your leg over the back of the bike to get on the bike. So it's harder to mount and dismount. And I've seen people put the kickstands down and with a child in the back, and then they turn their back, then the bike falls over because it's top heavy.
Mm-hmm.
And But by having the trailer, the child is in a 4 or 5 point harness seatbelt, and it has a full roll cage that goes around the child. And yes, I have rolled my daughter in the child carrier, and yes, it does work. I took a corner too sharp and rolled it off a curb.
Mm.
So yes.
Yeah. Those memories you have.
Oh, great memories. Great memories. And the great thing is they have great memories being in those. And yeah. And it was just made it a lot easier to get out and, as a parent and then having a child that you can put them in there, you can get out and go places
mm-hmm.
and enjoy it.
Robbie Mott from Trek Bike is our guest, 850-437-1620. If you want to keep the conversation going and have questions or comments to share. So we were talking a little bit about daylight savings time. I know that one of the things you can do is change your route that you're taking. Go to low traffic areas.
Change the route, yeah. Especially with the time change, look at the traffic patterns. Look at where you're going. And if you can avoid some of the traffic patterns by going off, going up one street or down one street to avoid some traffic, you just make it easier for you, easier and safer.
Mm-hmm.
And less traffic, it's going to be a lot better off that way.
So let's talk about rules of the road a little bit. If there's no bike lane present, where should the biker be?
You're a moving vehicle. So you have the right to, you need to go with the flow of traffic.
Mm-hmm.
And by law, there is a 3-foot rule that traffic is supposed to give you 3 feet. Does it happen? I'd love to see it happen more often, but a lot of people don't know about that. But you try to stay to the right as possible, but you don't want to ride in where all the trash is, where all the debris goes, because you're more likely to get a flat tire. So, you know, stay to the right as much as possible, but don't make yourself, you know, dangerous to your own self, like hitting a curb or getting in the rough patch. Because if you see the white line, and there's usually a lip between the concrete where the curbs are, mm-hmm. and then where that asphalt meets, that's really dangerous, because you can get yourself caught in that and crash just by trying to get back into the road. So, you know, stay, you know, about a foot or so off that white line, you know, on the traffic side.
Okay. Should they ever be up on the sidewalk?
Yes, you can ride on the sidewalk, you know, but if you're going to be riding, if it's casual, you know, and there's areas where it's dangerous, I would definitely get on the sidewalk, you know, and it's going to be a personal preference. If you don't feel safe being on the road, and there's areas where I don't feel safe on the road, so I'll jump on the sidewalk.
Okay. We do have another question on the text line, 850-437-1620, by the way. Has there been any discussion about having a velodrome in Escambia or Santa Rosa counties?
Years ago, I remember there was one, but it's a velodrome is so, there really isn't much call for a velodrome here in Pensacola. People don't know what it is, what it does.
I have no idea what it is.
It's basically an oval track.
Okay.
You know, it's NASCAR on a bicycle. So if you were able to watch any of the Olympics and watching them race on a velodrome,
yeah,
it's actually really exciting. It's an exciting sport. And the guys that actually do velodrome racing, they got legs like tree trunks. I mean, they're just huge. I mean, they're putting out a lot of power. It's just a sport that it's not really prevalent here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you go to, you know, Europe, they've got more of them. There's a handful of places here in the United States that have them. I think there's one in Atlanta. But it's not a real popular thing here, unfortunately.
Okay.
But it is a really cool sport, so Google it or watch some of the stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Watched one during the Olympics where they did like 100 laps and different, you know, just different rules and, you know, watching these guys just lap one another. And yeah. Some good crashes, too.
Yeah, the last Olympics, I mean, I did catch a little bit of, you know, the bicyclist, you know, going around. They're doing some sort of road race, you know, so I caught that part, but not the velodrome. So can you remind people that have wide pickup trucks that their mirrors stick way out? I've almost been clipped by them a couple of times.
I'll get right back to that. There is a track here in town that is up in Milton, but they're actually using it for speed skating. David Weber, actually big speed skating guy, actually made a great skate park for that, but for speed skating. So if you're into inline skating or anything like that, shoot out to him, but he's done an awesome job with what he's just done in the past 5 years.
Yeah. So, and I think if people see a demand for something in their area, they'll eventually step up and do it.
Exactly. And Dave is one of those guys that has done that for speed skating.
Yeah.
So he's also a big time cyclist. So if he's listening, hey, Dave, how's it going? but getting back to your question about, you know, big trucks and trailers and mirrors and things like that, it's unfortunately cars are getting bigger, they're getting heavier.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, some people just don't know how big their vehicle is, and they don't get over. So it's, you know, unfortunately, you're riding with the traffic, and, you know, try to stay as far to the right as possible that is safe for you. And also pay attention to their trailers, because when they do move over, a lot of times they come back over into the lane too soon, especially with the trailer.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had some people that have gotten hit by trailers because they've just come over too soon.
Wow. That's too bad.
Yeah.
All right. So Robbie Mott is our guest from Trek Bikes in Pensacola, 850-437-1620 if you want to be part of the conversation. So can you take us through the process of a customer coming through the door and how you fit them for the right bike?
So we're going to talk about fitting for the bike, and we're going to talk about fitting your old bike to you today.
Okay.
Instead of fitting a new bike to you, we're going to talk about, you know, maintenance on your old bike.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's sometimes you bring in your old bike that's 10 years old, 20 years old. Some of these bikes are still in great shape. You know, they just need some TLC. Also, as we get older, our bodies change, and so does the bike fit needs to be changed on your bike. So, you know, we get a lot of people that are bringing in 15-year-old Trek bikes, Giants, you know, all the good bicycles that just need a tune-up, and little upgrades. Mm-hmm. So some of the upgrades that we see a lot with is, you know, when people don't like leaning over, especially on some of the older bikes that were designed to lean over.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we can get, you know, an adjustable stem. So we can actually bring the handlebars up higher so you're not leaning over.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people, you know, with the old seats 20 years ago, they're not comfortable.
No, they're not.
We call them in the store violators.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, a new saddle, you know, a new set of grips, you know, to make it easier and softer on your hands. You know, so a lot of times we can do a tune-up, put a couple of new things on the bike, and retrofit your old bike to something that's just as good or sometimes even better than some of the new bikes that are out there.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if you come in thinking that, you know, I need a new bike, you know, and I like my old bike, it's, you know, it's done so much with me and I have so much great memories with it,
mm-hmm.
you know, we can retrofit that and get it to fit you again.
Yeah.
So it's just getting a little bit of feedback from you and how you want to ride and what you're going to be doing. Yeah. So,
absolutely,
you know, getting that old bike back to you and getting back to great memories.
Yeah, so they can customize it, like you said, and just take it to the level that they want it to be, and
exactly.
they can keep using a bike that they love.
Yeah, and it's just a lot of times it's gonna be cheaper than buying a new bike. Then the flip side is we'll tell you that, you know, if it's gonna get to the point where it's worth not putting the money into it,
mm-hmm.
you know, that maybe we should look at something different. You know, but if, you know, you have all these great memories and you want to fix it, definitely we can help you with that too.
Absolutely. So let's talk mountain bikes a little bit. I understand you have electric mountain bikes as well that you can offer people.
They have an electric bike for everything now. So they have electric mountain bikes.
Mm-hmm.
They have hardtails, full suspension mountain bikes. It all depends on what you're looking to do.
Yeah. Tell me about hardtail versus full suspension.
Full suspension is going to be, they also call them softtails.
Mm-hmm.
To where you're going to have suspension on the front fork, on the front of the bike, and you're going to have suspension on the rear of the bike. So it's going to give on both directions. So if you get a hit a bump, you know, the whole bike's going to give and your body's not going to take the abuse that you would on a hardtail, which means you're only going to have suspension in the fork, so mm-hmm. the front of the bike. There's also, you can get suspension seat posts. So the seat post gives a little bit. So you're not taking that harsh hit up the spine and lower back.
Okay. Another question on the text line here.
Great. Thanks for the questions, guys. It's awesome.
Do you work on triathlon bikes?
We do work on triathlon bikes. And as if you're calling about a triathlon bike, you know that we have a triathlon this coming weekend.
Mm. Where's that going to be?
Not this weekend because it's Friday. Next weekend out at Pensacola Beach.
Oh, nice.
The Santa Rosa Island Triathlon. So we've been a huge supporter of that for many, many years,
mm-hmm.
and great event. And it's always a great turnout, and it always sells out. And then also we have the triathlon on Saturday, and then we also have the kids triathlon on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
So we do a lot of maintenance on the triathlon bikes, especially this time of year. And you know, any time of the year that we have full Ironmans that are down in Panama City, or a lot of people travel to different parts of the world, parts of the United States, to actually do these events.
Mm-hmm. So, I know that Trek gives back to the community. Can you talk a little bit about some of those initiatives?
No problem. So we have, you know, like, so we're helping out again with the Santa Rosa Triathlon, mm-hmm. and we do a lot of SAG support and support before and after the event. The event Sunday with the kids triathlon is a huge event that, you know, we get young triathletes and athletes that come from all over to do this event down in, you know, Pensacola Beach. They actually will close the road off to where, you know, all the kids are safe. There's no traffic going down the beach road, and they get to swim out in the Gulf, ride down the beautiful, beautiful Pensacola Beach that we have, and run down the beach. So also we do, you know, different outreach programs and stuff. One that we're trying to put together with the city right now, just throw a little teaser out there,
mm-hmm.
trying to do a bike clinic for adults and stuff throughout the city.
Nice.
So, yeah.
One quick question, and we got 20 seconds. How long does it take to get a special delivery on a bike model?
If it's available, between 4 to 6 days whenever it gets ordered.
All right. And what's a good place for people to find you?
We're at 701 East Cervantes here in Pensacola by Maria Seafood and the UPS store. Usually people hit us up about.
All right. Thanks for joining us today.
All right. Thank you.